Step by Wicked Step, written by Anne Fine and read by Richard Mitchley.
Even before they reached the haunted house, the night had turned wild. The face of the minibus driver flickered from blue to white under the lightning. Each peal of thunder made the map in Mr. Plumley's hand shiver. And the five leftover pupils from Stagfire School peered anxiously through the rain-spattered windows into the storm and the black night.
There! Where? Over there, see? Up that overgrown driveway!
As the driver swung the minibus into the looming hole between the wrought-iron gates, the three on the right-hand side of the bus read out the words on the peeling sign.
Old Harwick Hall. Absolutely private. No hawkers, no circulars.
Colin, who had been quiet the whole journey, suddenly spoke.
Friendly. Don't even want you coming up their garden path to give them a free paper.
Some garden path.
Everyone stared out, flinching as the twisted fingers of trees scraped at the glass. After the terrible journey, somebody might have said,
I'm glad we're here.
But no one was sure they were. If they'd been lucky enough to travel on the bus with everyone else, they might have felt more of a crowd. They might have had fewer misgivings. But just the five of them, picked out by Miss O'Dell after a quick glance at her list, and herded in the minibus with Mr. Plumley like leftovers shoved in the fridge, well, that was different. Another brilliant flash lit up a jagged stone tower strangled by ivy.
Is that it?
No, that's the old chapel.
They'd all heard about the ruined chapel. It was forbidden ground, and if you were caught climbing on its perilously steep slopes, you were sent home, even though this was a school week. All they could see of it from the minibus as they swept by was a dark silhouette of tumbled stone.
Cripes!
The driver said suddenly, stabbing at the brakes. Everyone turned from the side windows and stared ahead.
There it is! Strick!
Through the arcs of the wipers, they could make out a towering mansion with dunce-hatted turrets standing black against storm clouds. Moonlight flickered eerily against its dark windows.
Creepsville! Maybe it really is haunted!
No one had truly believed it up till now. It was just something the last group always came back with. Tales of strange shadows and footsteps, and eerie figures in white gowns melting through walls. Each year, at least three people in every class swore, spit and hoped to die, that they had seen a ghost. The driver swung round in her seat.
Well, she asked Mr. Plumley, are you getting them all out?
Not giving him time to answer, she took charge herself, sliding open the side door. Everyone spilled out. They took the luggage from the back of the van.
Don't stop to look for your own bag, the driver ordered. Just take the nearest.
And splashed through the puddles to the shelter of the steep-roofed porch. Here, out of the driving rain, they exchanged battered rucksacks and brand-new holdalls as the driver took off in a spray of wet gravel, and their teacher stared miserably at the huge oak and iron door.
Ring the bell, Mr. Plumley, prompted Claudia. What bell?
Quite right. No bell that anyone could see.
Try knocking, then.
Robbo knocked the hardest, but it was clear to everyone that if they could barely hear his fierce hammering over the whine of the wind, no one inside would even notice it.
Try the handle, suggested Pixie.
Obediently, Mr. Plumley twisted the heavy ring handle and pushed. The door grated open over a black-and-white tiled floor that looked like a huge checkerboard glazed with stormwater.
Try the lights!
None of the switches did anything. Ralph and Pixie took turns at flicking them up and down, but no lights came on anywhere.
Storm damage, I expect, said Ralph.
Mr. Plumley was horrified.
You don't suppose that they'll be off all night?
It's not going to be easy settling you all in one of the dormitories in the pitch dark.
The thunder crashed so loud that nobody cared to mention they'd all made plans to sleep in different rooms.
We'll go up these stairs here. Ouch!
Poor Mr. Plumley had marched straight into a giant floor-to-ceiling looking-glass that reflected the wide curve of stairs sweeping out of the shadows behind them. He turned to face the other direction.
This way, he said.